Welcome back for another adventure on the Outdoor Hour. I'm your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan, and if you've been keeping up with the show, you may have heard our guest here that we have this afternoon on the show on a previous episode. I'm really pleased to have Jen Shears with us again. If you caught the past show, you'll hear it, and in fact, if you haven't caught it, you can catch it again at bocm.com because all our past episodes are up there. But Jen and I had a chat about food security and about the traditions of hunting, but at that time, it was early on in the year, and Jen was just starting to plan her hunting season. So I wanted to check in and see what's been going on with Jen. So Jen, if you haven't heard of Jen Shears, if you don't follow her on social media, I definitely suggest that you check her out. It's an excellent site that you have there, Jen, on Instagram. But just to tell people a little bit of background about who you are, you're a business owner, you're a mom, you're a hunter, and also now with this social media presence that you've been building, you've really become sort of an influencer.
Yeah, well, thanks. First of all, thanks for having me on again, Leslie, and it's a real pleasure to chat with you and catch up, and hello to everybody listening. I'm a born and bred Newfoundlander. I grew up in Corner Brook, live in Rocky Harbor now, and the outdoors and living off the land and all that was just huge in my upbringing. And when my husband and I started dating back when we were 15, it carried on through our relationship there too. And so being outdoors, catching rabbits, fishing and goose hunting, duck hunting and all that was a big part of our growing up together. And as we got older and had a bit more disposable income and were foodies and stuff, we decided that we'd like to take our outdoor pursuits maybe even off the island to do some traveling and to do some hunting while we were at it too. We began that journey of hunting off the island in different places, bringing back the different meats that we harvested and sharing it with our community and our friends. And our outdoor passions and stuff really led to our businesses as well. We're involved in tourism in Rocky Harbor with some accommodations. We have a wildlife museum there where we have dioramas of all different animals in Newfoundland and Labrador. And we also have Natural Boutique in St. John's, where we have steel skin products and fur products. So it really ties into sustainable, renewable use of our renewable resources. And we have a daughter, Aspen, who's 7, and we're really trying to bring her up with all those facets of our lives kind of intertwined. And so far, so good, I think. She's a character, and she really completes our unit as a family, I must say.
Oh, she is a character for sure, and she is a part of your social media presence as well, as we've talked about. And, you can all of those things that you're talking about now really shine through in the things that you're doing online. And you are an influencer, as I say, but you're not like a TikToker or something like that. What you're talking about is just really appreciating these natural resources that we have around us and that sort of thing. So it's definitely great to see. Check it out. I would definitely suggest that. But, when we were talking earlier, we were talking about your season that you had coming up and you had some hunts planned. I'm actually catching you right in the middle of a hunt now. You are in Alberta.
Yeah, I sure am. So we're in Alberta, just outside of Calgary, a couple of hours on a mule deer and a white-tailed deer hunt. And it's something that we had booked a couple of years ago. Normally, we don't book hunts well in advance. We like to be more like cancellation, last-minute kind of thing. But this outfit, this area is a really well-renowned area for some great bucks. So we did sign off and book early on. And with COVID and the year, as we know that it's been, they didn't know if they were going to run it, but given that this is a small town, they have no cases, and we're from Newfoundland, no cases really, we mutually agreed it was a safe kind of thing that we could do, and we're pretty well isolating and stuff, and able to get our hunt in, and I was successful in harvesting a mule deer last night, so that was super cool.
Well, congratulations, and I can't wait to see the photos and to hear the story about this. So what people can expect from you to talk about these hunts that you've been on, I think, it's something that we can look forward to ourselves as you've been looking forward to the hunt. So, I mean, it must have been different to have that to look forward to be planning this. As you say, you normally just sort of jump on the plane and decide at the last minute that you're going to take something in. So that must have been neat.
It was neat. And again, it was one of those things where we've had it booked for so long, but we didn't know how the outlook given the year would really be. We did a few other hunts earlier in the year, in the summer up in the Yukon and in Alberta again for sheep. But those were kind of booked last minute because of the border closure and the lack of American clients that typically go on those hunts. So those came about because of COVID and the issues around it, whereas this one was booked and we didn't know how it was going to go. But yeah, it's good. And I appreciate you saying that, you know, me sharing my things online is something that people can look forward to. You know, it's much like what you try to do here with this show, The Outdoor Hour, really to get people inspired and engaged in the outdoors and outdoor pursuits and show people that they really can do it regardless of their circumstances and stuff. So I think we're kind of kindred spirits in that respect.
Yeah, definitely. And it is important to me. It's important to me, too, that people see that this is an industry that's important to our economy as much as it's important to our culture, and to hear about small business owners in rural places like yourself and Kerry, it just kind of shines a light on how important this is. It's not just something that we do. It's really a part of who we are. And I think that's awesome that you share it on your social media, especially. So, I mean, tell us about some other things that you've been up to. So you've been on the mule deer hunts now in Alberta. And of course, I think we mentioned it a little bit about the COVID regulations. So Alberta doesn't have the same regulations. You are technically allowed to go to Alberta. Of course, when you come home, you'll safely and happily isolate in Rocky Harbor, I'm sure.
Sure will.
Glad to be like you. Well, you went all over. You were in the Yukon as well.
Yeah, so in the Yukon, we went for a dull sheep hunt. And although we had planned that at the start of COVID, they were kind of shut down their borders the same way Newfoundland and Labrador has been. But their outfitters association got together and basically put in a proposal to the government to say, listen, people are coming in and they're going directly into the wilderness with one guide. So what better form of isolation do you want, really?
Right.
So thankfully, the government was on board with that. And so there was a plan in place when we landed. We knew we were going straight from point A to point B. We had to isolate there until we got the float plane right to the backcountry. And that's where we stayed for, in that case, it was 21 days or so. That trip was, Aspen was with us. So we had a 7-year-old in the mountains of the Yukon on a dull sheep hunt. And, you know, before that, she would cry going around a 1-kilometer-long pond back home. So we didn't know what we were in for, but, man, she was a trooper, and that's probably one of the highlights of my life so far, to have her up there with us. We brought her because we thought we couldn't be away from her for 3 weeks or more and then go home and isolate away from her. That would really be bad for all of us. So we looked at our options and we said, well, we're just going to bring her with us. And what a transformative experience that was, I must say.
Oh, I can imagine it must have been. I mean, I have an 8-year-old daughter, and I feel that when you say she's complained about a 1-kilometer-long little walk up the road, but you must have just sparked something in her as well, obviously.
Well, when we landed the float plane, the plan originally was that we were going to, she and I and a guide were going to stay at a spike camp at the lake, just a wall tent kind of set up. And Kerry and his guide were going to go up into the mountains, and if they saw anything, they would come back and get us, and we'd all go up together. But we thought, rather than shag around and have them going back and forth, we'll just bite the bullet and we'll all go up and, you know, together that first day. So what we thought was going to be maybe a 4-hour, relatively easy walk up to the foothills there turned into like a 9-hour slog through buck brush, they call it. I guess the biggest comparison I could put it to was like saying if you were trying to fight through Tuckamore at home. For us, like our head was above it, but poor Aspen, she was beating her face through it and everything. She must have thought my parents were trying to kill me. Thankfully, for the last half of that hike, I'm pretty sure she was sleepwalking. So I don't know if she remembers much of it. But
she'll block it out anyway, girl.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. But it was wild.
Oh, it must have been. It sounds incredible. Well, we're going to take a short break now. We're going to get right back in and hear more about Aspen's adventure. And I'd also like to hear about another generation in your family who had another adventure this year, one of many, I'm sure, over the years. So we'll be right back on the Outdoor Hour. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and this is VOCM. Welcome back to the Outdoor Hour. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and I'm going to jump right back into my chat here with Jen Shears. Jen is joining us again. She's in Alberta, if you're just checking in with us. She's on a mule deer hunt, and we're talking actually about her entire hunting season up to now, and it's been quite an adventure. Before the break, if you're just tuning in, she was telling us about her trip to the Yukon for Doll Sheep, and she took her 7-year-old daughter, Aspen. So we've heard about Aspen beating through the low bush, and it was just up to her face, God love her, but what else? I mean, that was just day one. It must have been an amazing 21 days.
It was quite something. Well, and I'll even back up a little bit. So I talked about that slog being about 9 hours or so and all the trees being in her face. But the first 50 yards, she had a meltdown. It was her first meltdown. And I stood there and I was like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? Like, trying to talk myself through it before I could even broach her on how to get her through it. But, you know, patience was really key, and I came to find, like, that was key throughout the entire trip. And, you know, talking through it with one another and communication was big. And once we kind of got her through that moment, it was pretty good from then on. Like, she did have a few moments, a few meltdowns throughout the 21 days, but we all did, to be honest. So she's seven, right? So yeah, we were up in the mountains. We backpacked for 14 of those days, so sleeping in a tent and carrying all of our food on our backs. And you know, I was really cognizant of, you know, she's a growing girl and she needs certain nutrients and stuff that really freeze-dried food might not provide her. So here I was up in the mountains with pretty well our house and home on our back, and I was packing up cans of tuna and things like that, like nuts and everything, to try to have stuff that would really sustain her and nourish her during the trip. So I had quite the load on my back, and of course Kerry did too. He had quite the load on his back, and but you know, we got through it. The flies were brutal. Folks, I guess, in Labrador can relate to it, but even the guides who have been up there for many years said it was the worst year ever for flies. So,
of course.
of course it was. Yeah. And, yeah, just throughout the whole experience, you know, like, Aspen really loves fishing. She's almost obsessed with fishing, and she's really good at it too. I'm no good at fishing. I'm not a great fisher.
Well, you did pretty well in summer.
I did okay, that's for sure. But her kind of treat, what really got her through it, was knowing that at the end of the trip, when we walked back down to the lake, she was going to stay in a cabin for a few days and go out on that lake going for pike and grayling and lake trout and stuff like that. And what an experience she had there. She caught like a 35-inch pike on her own. I thought she was going to go overboard. She's all like 55 pounds at that point. And just like she had her teeth gone. She still kind of does. They're growing back now from where she's losing her teeth. But just the big, like, toothless smile, I can't get that out of my head. And that's what sticks out to me from that whole trip. Despite all the, you know, trials and everything that we had on it, it really tested Kerry and I as parents. It tested us all as a family unit, but we certainly grew from it and had the most amazing bonding and growth moments of our family life. So it was an experience that we were kind of forced into through COVID, but I'm so grateful that happened, because you know, kids can do anything, and with the right guidance, patience, and support, like, they can thrive in even the craziest and diciest of situations. So that was a big lesson for us.
Well, and it's a great lesson to learn at this point, because as you say, she is just 7 years old. So what she can accomplish over her lifetime now that she has embraced adventure like yourself, she's in for a beautiful life, really. And I think it's a gift you've given her. Absolutely. And speaking of beautiful life, Astrid is one in a long line of outdoors women. On your social media, of course, I saw your name got her move this year.
She did. So when I was on the show earlier the year, I made the biggest mistake. I was talking about how my nan, who's almost 90, gets her moose licenses, you know, when she applies every now and again. And you asked me if she got one this year, and I said no. That episode didn't finish airing, and my phone was ringing, and it was Nan saying, "Yes, I did. I do have a license this year. Where are you getting your information?"
Nan News is going to have to do her research form,
right? That's for sure. She had her license again this year, and in around the Lewis Hills area 6, she had, and she ended up getting her moose, a nice young bull, I think it was. And, Nan's full of spunk and energy and everything. Like, some days I wish I had the energy that she has, and just a really great influence in my life and in the lives of all the women in our family. Really outdoors minded and nature loving, birding, bird watching kind of lady, strong lady. And she continues to prove it. At 89, she got her moose again. So I'm fortunate to be surrounded with women like her, my aunts, my mom, my sister, and pretty grateful for the upbringing that I've had and how that has instilled the values that I have, and now passing on to Aspen and my nieces and nephews. So yep, congrats, Nan. So stoked that you got your moose. And I apologize. It's out in public now. I apologize.
So what is your nan's name? We should definitely give her the credit for sure. What's your nan's name?
Her name, she goes by Jerry Hiscock. She lives in Corner Brook. And we call her Nan Jurley.
Okay, well, Nan Jurley, congratulations on your moose. And it was a fine moose. There's a picture of it up on Jen's pages, of course. You can scroll back and take a look at all the things that Jen's been up to. But back there you will find Nan Jurley with the moose. And it's a great one. So what do the moose hunts look like for your Nan now that she's 89? I guess in Corner Brook they're lucky that they can, kind of get into a lot of woods roads and things like that. There's been a big lumber industry there for many, many years. So there's access to that back country. I guess your Nan is she not in like Aspen was? Is she in the Tuckamore?
No, she wasn't. They were in around my parents' cabin. So they've got a nice little area down there. They like to look down across the pond down there, and there's a bog up there. So Nan has a bit of a bad hip, but she can get around. So normally they'll go on the patio and try to spot across the bog, and then when they see one out there, they kind of take their time and go out there. And sure enough, that's how she got this one.
Well, that's awesome to hear. I absolutely love that. And it's so nice to hear that, this is a generational and a family thing for you to be hunting. And I think it's a common theme for all of us. A lot of us have come up in hunting and fishing families, and families like your Nan who are into the outdoors more than they're in the indoors. And that's the reality. But what you do differently, I think, is you share it with a wider audience. So your social media, of course, is growing. You're telling these personal stories. Been getting a lot of national, international even attention to your site, not just because of, we talked a little bit last time about putting yourself out there as a hunter and the abuse that you may encounter, and we can talk more about that later in the show, but I really love the fact that you're telling these personal stories and people can really relate to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, as a hunter, so often you're portrayed as just this cold-hearted murderer, really, bloodthirsty kind of thing, and that's the least of it, really. And that's actually the worst part of it for me. I have always had such, mixed emotions on it, but the whole process and the whole journey and then the end result and what you get out of it, both personal growth and then literal, like physical growth, because you get to sustain yourself with what you've taken. To me, that is everything. And in a world where, like it is now with COVID and we've seen with like Snowmageddon and stuff, it's really great to be self-reliant, to be able to provide for yourself and for your family and your community. Like the Sharing the Harvest NL, I want to give a shout out to them. Barry Fordham has been key in getting that off the ground, the ability for hunters to be able to donate their wild game to those in need. It's like that just, it almost makes me tear up. It makes me so excited and so happy. And I know it's still a pilot project at this point, but the fact that it's underway after many years of lobbying, like huge kudos to Barry and to Sharing the Harvest. NL and everyone involved with that, because to me that's what it's all about.
It is a fantastic initiative, and Barry and I chatted about it as well, and it's the same theme, this similar to what you were doing. It's a continuation of our tradition, because when a big game is harvested, and I'm sure that's been the experience for your Nan and her family for generations, when big game is harvested, or even when there's lots of small game years ago when there wasn't moose, and people were getting birds and things like that, they'd go around and they'd share with their community. So we're still that same community, and it's nice that we can officially share our harvest now. I love that.
Exactly. And being able to show that to the world, to show like it's not about just the kill and being the cold-blooded murderer, as they felt like to portray me sometimes. It's about the greater good and the sustainability aspect. So that's what I try to put out there.
Yeah. And I do find that the world is sort of changing its mind a little bit about food, hopefully, and about where our food comes from. And I think that people are seeing, the meat being consumed. Years ago, hunters, as you say, they were just the bloodthirsty killers, and we would hear tell of the Americans coming and just taking the antlers and going, but it's not as often the case anymore.
No, and someone, whether they eat it or not, someone does. It goes to good use at the lodge or wherever, so it's a great thing.
And now we can go to Sharing the Harvest NL, which is another part of that program, another facet. And you can learn more about Sharing the Harvest NL on Facebook, and they do have a website as well. We're going to check back in with Jen Shears right after a short break here on the Outdoor Hour. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan on your VOCM. Welcome back to the Outdoor Hour. I'm your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we're checking in on a hunter's hunting season. And I've actually interrupted her right in the middle of a hunt in Alberta. I'm here with Jen Shears, if you're just tuning in. And Jen is in the middle of rural Alberta now, hunting mule deer. And you say you were successful yesterday hunting with the mule deer tag.
I sure was, yeah. So it was a cool experience, I must say.
And it is your first mule deer.
It is my first. I've been on mule deer hunts before, but I wasn't successful in getting one. I never even saw one, I don't think, last time. So to see one, it was a nice mature buck. And to get him down with one clean, perfect shot, like that's all I could ever hope for. Ethical hunting and a humane harvest is something I lose sleep over. So when it goes down like that, literally, I'm really pleased and really happy. And he's just a beautiful buck. So I'm over the moon.
Amazing. Awesome. So the meat from this, you know, we have talked about outfitting businesses who host people who are coming to trophy hunt, and then they either use the meat themselves or they donate it to the community. But you guys don't do that. As you mentioned, you're foodies. So you take home as much meat as you can.
We do, yeah. So anytime we go on a trip, part of our regular packing, it involves a big Rubbermaid container, and in that container goes some of our gear, but also two, at least usually, collapsible coolers, so that when we do harvest an animal, or if we do, we can fill it up with the meat that we get, and we can ship it home. Sometimes that makes people's head spin to think, oh, you're trusting those airlines with all that meat, but so far so good. I must knock on wood, but we haven't had a hitch. And I think from my experience, when airlines do see that big perishable food sticker on it, they think, I better send that on its way so I don't get stuck with it here in my
This is the thing. Exactly. They don't want that. So you have no worries. Yeah. With your luggage, they don't even think about. But meat, a big bucket of meat.
But yeah. So we're here at a great outfit. And typically when we do harvest an animal, the few days after we'll eat that meat. For example, in the Yukon, when I got that doll sheep, Aspen and I stayed at a backcountry cabin for a couple of days while Carrie went out on his hunt with a guide. And in those 4 days that we were there, Aspen and I polished off the back strap or one of the back straps from the doll sheep. And it was so cool, you know, to be in the middle of the Yukon wilderness. And really the main food that we had, aside from a few sides, was the back strap of the animal that I just lugged off the mountains. It's a beautiful, like, full circle experience for me. And to have her enjoy that is wonderful.
It really is a fascinating experience, and it's something that, you know, I'm jealous of. I think I'm going to have to take you and, you know, go hunting with you sometime, because that sounds fantastic. So, you know, I guess is that typical then when you go to an outfitter that you would kind of consume the meat fresh then from the kill that you've done?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the highlights of the whole experience. Meat is always better fresh before, you know, before it gets frozen. So we like to eat as much of it as we can. And like if you're up in the mountains cooking it over the fire and stuff, there's no better like sensory experience. It's so amazing. But yeah, and you know, the more, and if we get like two animals, the more we eat here, then the more luggage allowance we'll have to bring more home too. So less we'll stay with the outfitter, and when we'll get to take more home ourselves. That's always our goal.
Right. And I mean, I guess you're pretty hungry after 21 days in the bush as well. So it's not hard to call it off a backstrap.
It is not. No, you've got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, tell us about how you know, the doll sheep, for people who are unfamiliar perhaps with what a doll sheep is, describe this animal to us.
Yeah, the doll sheep is a wild sheep. When I was telling everyone I was, you know, training up to go for a sheep hunt, they were like, gee whiz, there's lots of sheep down in Sally's Cove.
Fish in a barrel. Yeah.
Yeah. Right at Green Gardens, sure. The people from Trout River bring their sheep out to Green Gardens. There's lots out there. But it's a wild sheep. It's a mountain sheep. The doll sheep is typically all white. And they've got these big horns that kind of spiral backwards, and just such a majestic mountain animal. You typically find them in like Yukon, Alaska, Northwest Territories, and it's sheep hunting is in a way the mecca of hunting. You're out there in the elements in. You know, crazy terrain. Like my threshold now for what I consider to be steep or rugged is completely changed from what it was over a year ago when I started on my sheep hunting journey. It's such a mental and physical test. And some sheep hunts don't go long or aren't tough, but I tell you, the ones that I've been on, they've been tough. Last year, I spent over 40 days and nights in the mountains of Yukon and Alberta, and I didn't see a single legal ram. So I was like traipsing up and down mountains, and my winter started August 18th. We got 2 feet of snow, and backpacking and tenting in that. And for the rams, for the sheep, you need to go by the size of their horns, because they want to make sure that you're harvesting typically older, mature rams that have had their opportunity to pass on their genes, and maybe they don't have that many years left. So it's their way of managing the population and a mechanism for conservation. And you age the sheep, or if their horns are a certain length, that determines whether you can get that one or not. So we saw rams, but we had to pass them up because they didn't meet the requirements for harvesting them. So it was a slog, I must say. But despite it, after all that, I still wanted to be able to harvest one and, you know, and get one. So this year went back at it again, and this time it was for doll sheep, and I was successful in getting one the trip that Aspen was on. And then after that, I mean, we were home for a couple of weeks, and then went back to Alberta for bighorn sheep. So that one is more of a darker color in the mountains of like Alberta, BC, that type of thing. And for me now, there are four North American wild sheep. I've harvested two, and I would like to harvest the other two. And it's just like a challenge I'm, you know, giving myself and Carrie. And, you know, hopefully before we're – they say don't wait for sheep hunting because it's tough on the body. So we're young and we're trying to get it done as early as we can. But, yeah, it's a great journey nonetheless.
I'm sure it is. So with these other two sheep, that would not be in Canada, I guess. It would be in the United States, would it?
Well, one of them would be in Canada. That would be the Stone sheep. So I actually went on a Stone sheep hunt last year. They're typically in BC, but then up into Yukon, there is like they say it could be a Stone or a Fannin. So it's a Stone sheep crossed with the Dall sheep, the white sheep that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So you get that one in Canada. And then the desert, it's in like California or Mexico or something like that. And yeah, so that one will probably be the last one I get done. I'd like to get the Stone sheep done because that one is a tough one typically too. So that one will be, I'm actually booked for Yukon next year to try at that again. So hopefully my Stone sheep drought will end for next year.
Right, well, you've got the practice now, absolutely.
I do. There's a term, it's called sheep shape, and it's a real thing. Once you're in those mountains chasing after those critters for weeks on end, you do develop a whole other level of fitness, I must say.
I bet, and a different skill set too. I mean, obviously you're a very skilled hunter. You do bow hunt and rifle hunt, and, you know, between all this sheep hunting on the mainland, we'll say, you also harvested a moose yourself, so you kind of know what you're doing. But it must be a very different experience, as you say, to be hunting in the mountains of the Yukon. I even find it different to leave the Avalon and go to the West Coast. So from the West Coast to the Yukon must be incredible.
Yeah, well, I mean, all the different landscapes, and I mean, like home, the weather is unpredictable. So we got that going for us anyway. We're used to no bad weather, just bad clothes kind of mindset.
Yeah.
But one of the hardest thing I find is when Aspen doesn't come with us. She's really great at laying on the guilt trips. So we have our InReach devices, which are like a GPS communication, but you can text on it. So I'll be sitting in the mountains, you know, missing her and stuff and feeling guilty for being away. And then the messages will come in with the emojis, the broken heart and the ram picture, and then the emoji of the mother and father and the little girl. I'm like, Ashton, oh my gosh. Like, when are you coming home? How many days? I need to know exactly how many days. But in the mountains, you just can't give those kinds of answers. But she's coming to learn that. When she had that experience in Yukon, she learned we go home when we get the ram, typically.
Well, you've got a whole new game on your hand now with her because she's also a hunter. I bet she's been bitten by the bug.
She has been, and I tell you, or I know the age for hunting in Newfoundland has recently dropped from 18 to 16, which is huge. It's an awesome thing, but it's not low enough for her. She says, like, we go to places in the legal age, like in BC, I think it's 10, or here in Alberta, it's 12 or 14. So she's telling us her first big game animal isn't going to be in Newfoundland because she doesn't want to wait that long. We'll see if that holds true. I mean, she's only 7. She can change her mind, but if her mind stays like that, we'll do everything we can to make it happen for her.
I'm sure you will. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how Jen plans her hunts and about what's next for her. We'll be right back right after this on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. Welcome back to the Outdoor Hour. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we're chatting with hunter Jen Shears. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, Jen is also what I've called a social media influencer, but not of the typical kind, not like the kind that my daughter is taking to watch into on TikTok. But Jen is, she's influencing us with her hunting stories and her hunting exploits, and the fact that it's a tradition in her family for generations now to be a part of that community. So Jen, before the break, we were talking about your sheep hunts and how you choose the hunts that you're going to go on. So what next? What do you do with these hunts now? What's the point of all this?
Sure. So aside from having these crazy experiences, these cool, wonderful memories in the mountains and in the different terrains that we're experiencing, we have been filming this past group of hunts, the sheep hunt, my moose hunt, my bear hunt this spring, for some episodes on Wild TV. So Wild TV is Canada's largest outdoor network, Hunting and Fishing and Outdoor Network. And we're going to be having some episodes that should be out next summer, next fall, I believe, as part of Canada Hunts. And filming and doing all that is something that's really new to us, and it's not necessarily something I set out to do. I never wanted to be on TV doing this, but kind of fell into my lap. I was approached by some people from the network that saw my stuff on social media, and they convinced me that, you know, we're doing some pretty epic things with our adventures and our pursuits. And really the only thing we have to show for it up until that point was a few phone camera photos and a few video clips. And it was really a shame to not have something bigger and better and put together, because I never ever did anything with those videos, and those photos are still sitting in my old phone. So we thought, you know, when we're older and Aspen maybe has a child or children of her own, how cool would it be to be able to show our grandkids, like, look at what Nan and Pop did when they were in their prime, you know? So that's really our motivation for it. Like, I have a Nan, and well, I had several Nans, but one's still alive that I look up to, and I'm so proud of everything that she has accomplished. And I thought, you know, how cool would it be to have someone look up to me like that in my own family? So that's really the driver behind doing the filming. And so we've done it a couple of different ways. We've had camera people come with us to actually film it. And while that adds a whole other dynamic to it, it does at the same time take the pressure off it. So while Carrie and I are together, you know, getting ready for a shot, like the actual shot with the rifle, someone else is worried about the camera shot, and we don't have to be dividing our attention between the two. So in Yukon, we had a gentleman from the Yukon, because of their whole isolation thing. We thought someone from the territory might be better suited for that. So that was great. And then when we came up to Alberta, we actually brought along a camera operator from Steady Brook. His name's Jake Dix. And he actually, normally, his regular gig is to work with Red Bull and film their sporting events and stuff like that. So he was, like, super cool, and it was a whole new experience for him. He goes out, hunting and helping his dad bring in anything that he harvests on moose hunts. But this was his first, like, real mountain hunt experience, and I think it knocked his socks off. I he might be scarred for life from it, but he was so good, and to see what he put together, before we had even left camp, to see what he was able to put together on his laptop, it makes me so excited for how the production team is going to assemble it all. So, aside from the main reason we hunt in terms of the experiences and bringing the food home, we're going to have that extra little treasure for the hunts from this year anyway. So we're really looking forward to that.
Well, I'm looking forward to it too, because you are such a great storyteller, and that shines through in your social media. It shines through in the interviews and the press that you do around, not just here locally, but you've been getting some attention nationally and internationally as well. I know some of that attention isn't great because some people do come out against hunting. I think a lot of it, though, as we've talked about before, is misunderstanding, and it's just not appreciating the fact that it's a meat supply for you guys and a protein supply for you and your whole community.
For sure.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, tell us what's next now. Do you think that this gig with Wild TV is something that you would continue?
Yeah, I mean, we're having a lot of fun with it. There's the whole sponsorship thing that's involved. So that's something that I'm not used to and all that. But I'm getting used to it, and it's been good. We've got some really great people involved locally right now. We have A-Rock, which is a new store downtown St. John's. They've got a beautiful location full of all kinds of fishing and outdoor gear, high-end stuff. They've done a really good job with it. And so we're thankful to have them on board. And then our store as well, Natural Boutique, and we sell the sealskin items. And so people are like, well, you get hate coming at you all the time from your hunting. And I'm like, well, I've been having hate come at me for a long time being in the sealing industry. So it's just par for the course with me, really. Mm-hmm. And I approach it in a similar manner. Like, I always tell this story, and it's a 100% true story. I was at a trade show on the mainland selling our steel products, and I had someone start the conversation by saying to me, "You should be ashamed of yourself." And by the time I engaged in positive, rational talk with her, and we spent like a half an hour together, she actually left and bought a pair of boots, a pair of sealskin boots, because she felt so misled, and she felt like she had no real understanding of how things were, and she was deliberately, you know, misled by those animal rights groups and stuff. So I feel that it's just another mechanism for me to get the messaging out around sustainability and around resource management and conservation. Yeah, just another medium for that. And I'm just thrilled with it. And Carrie is too. And Aspen is pretty excited as well. She's going to be on TV a little bit.
It's a kid's dream come true, real. I can't wait to see the show with your nan. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. There might be a few beat words.
Oh, I watch Fozzie Bee. She won't be the first.
No, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it is a lot of these shows, and I can't wait to see yours. And I know there's a couple of other local guys who were involved as well, TV, like Brian Oram, and this Canada Hunts East show has been fantastic.
Yes.
Just to showcase what it is that we have here to the rest of the country. And I think a lot of times on the East Coast, Newfoundland, even more so, we have a little bit of an inferiority complex when it comes to a lot of things. You know, we always tend to believe in our own little hearts that the mainland is better, but in the hunting industry, we can hold our heads high because we are really the mecca of the world for a lot of things.
Oh.
So it's awesome that you're showing that.
We are, yeah. And one of the episodes I'm most pumped about, it's going to be a combination of my first Atlantic salmon that I caught this year, my first archery black bear that I caught this year. We've got some crazy footage of calling in this huge bull to 5 yards. I was at full draw, but there was a big stump in the way, so I couldn't get a shot off on him. But I ended up getting my bull, and Aspen was involved in the bear hunt and stuff like that. So to be able to showcase that, and really we're going off the island for a few of the shows, but down at the core of it all, we're Newfoundlanders, you know, and you can take the girl off the island, but you can't take the island out of the girl. So that is near and dear to our hearts and to every bit of the shows. So we're hoping that will shine through as well.
Yes, I'm sure it will, because like you say, it's just a part of our culture, and it's definitely a part of your upbringing and who you are. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And I really like to keep up with you on social media. Why don't you tell people how they can find you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm most active on Instagram. My handle on Instagram is Smidgen. You spell it S-M-I-D-J-E-N. And I also have a blog. So when I'm out in the mountains and stuff, I find it hard to keep it up to date. But every now and again, I'm able to put stuff out. There's recipes and things there for wild game and different adventures. And that's jenshears.com. So those are the two main ways. And I look forward to sharing more adventures there. And I love the engagement from people. So reach out if you have any questions about any of the adventures, or even things like hunter host programs, which exist off the island. So even though a guided hunt might not be in the cards for you, certain provinces, you know, you have the ability to, if you have a relative in another province, get them to kind of be your guide, and you can go and harvest an animal and bring the meat back home just like we do. So there are lots of cool options on how to make it happen.
Oh, my gosh, I never knew about that. That's something that I'm going to have to look into for sure, because I know that's a challenge, and I'm not at all suggesting that we look into that, because I do commend the people at Wildlife that, you know, our populations are very, you know, for the most part, well-controlled. Don't agree with every decision, of course, but, you know, we're doing well. So, but it's interesting to see how they do it in other jurisdictions. It's something that I'd like to look into for sure. So Jen, what's next then? You know, you're going to keep up with the TV. So you know, the doll sheep you've done, you've got a couple of other sheep hunts planned. What other hunts do you think we're going to see on Wild TV and on your social media coming soon?
Yeah. So for next year, I guess, is really where I'm looking ahead to now. There were a couple of hunts that I had postponed from this year. They got canceled because of COVID. One was in Alaska and one was down in New Mexico. So hopefully they will go ahead in 2021. We'll be filming there. And if that doesn't go ahead, then We've got some other backup plans. Again, I'm going to do my stone sheep hunt in the Yukon. And, yeah, I guess the spring we'll just be sorting out all the footage and everything and maybe doing some small game stuff. And, yeah, we don't sit back much trying to get the businesses going again. Christmas is a busy season for us at Natural Boutique. So in the next imminent coming weeks, that'll be busy for us.
Oh, I'm sure it is. It's one of my favorite shops downtown. I love to go in and see all the new things that you've got. I'm a huge fan of sealskin. I just love the color of it, let alone all the cultural, you know, things that go along with it. But Jen, I really want to thank you so much for the conversation today and for taking the time out of your hunt in Alberta. It's nighttime there, and I know you've got an early rise tomorrow, so I'll let you go, but we're definitely going to have to check back in with you when you start to air those shows on Wild TV.
Look forward to it. Thanks for your time, Wesleyan.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll see you all soon on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.